Today on Movie World, as we talk about Doctor Strange, Moonlight, and Arrival. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And ESD as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly list of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online, and streaming, or in the background airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings, all.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
It's a pound cake day.
It is a pound cake day. I was telling ESD how I haven't had pound cake in ages.
Pound cake is comfort food. We need comfort food.
It's like a hug.
I do like pound cake.
Yeah.
Although, I wish it wasn't quite the pound of sugar.
Or the pound of butter.
The butter I can deal with. The sugar, I find offensive.
Although when pound cake goes bad, it's really bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Stale pound cake is the worst.
Yeah. Or dry pound cake.
Yeah. Like a stale croissant is still good.
Then it's like a scent cake.
Then it's just old cake, bad cake.
But it's less forgiving of being left around. It's a very needy cake.
This is true. So for those listening, the reason that we're talking about pancake sandwiches, we've got pieces of it in front of us. Yum. Because, Rashmi, you bought it yesterday for Sunday day.
Yeah, it was Sunday day yesterday. Did you know it was National Sunday Day yesterday?
On a Friday?
Yeah, not Sunday.
Not Sunday, as in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, that's Sunday. Mm-hmm. Okay.
On a Friday. That's silly. They should have had Sunday.
Yeah.
As in Sunday E on a Sunday Y.
Look, you don't need an excuse for a sundae, other than National Sunday Cake.
But you made very, very nice ice cream sundaes. The only reason I'm talking about this at all is that these were very tasty ice cream sundaes that you put together with some baked... No, what did you do to pound cake?
Baked the last
time.
You made pound cake croutons
on vanilla ice cream with some...
Caramelized peach.
Caramelized peaches.
It was very healthy.
I hate you. I hope it tasted horrible.
It was so bad. It was so
actually
bad.
Really good. Do that again. But anyway, we have the remnants of the pound cake here.
Yes.
We're going to be chomping through them during this episode. But we have three movies to talk about today. So once again, I'm sorry, Netflix fans. We're going to skip our usual segment on I Can't Find Anything to Watch on Netflix.
But next episode, we will.
Yes.
Well, maybe. There's tons of stuff that's been coming out. So it's a really good, good time of year to be a Netflix fan. But
yeah, we're in the last lap of the award season for movies, and now they're coming
thick and fast.
Yeah, absolutely. So, let's talk about this week's releases. We have Doctor Strange, Arrival, and Moonlight. So, where would you guys like to start?
Doctor Strange.
Okay, take it away, Yathi.
So, Doctor Strange is directed by Scott Derrickson, whose previous credits have been with directing horror films such as Deliver Us from Evil, Sinister, and The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And this is the next chapter in the Marvel Universe, which threatens to take over our human universe with a series of movies that they are very strategically...
They're getting carried away now.
Yeah, they've planned through 2025 or something like that. But anyway, this is the next chapter in the Marvel Universe. And it has an impressive cast with the lead Doctor Strange character being played by Benedict Cumberbatch. And we also have Chiwetel Ejiofor, the lovely Rachel McAdams, Mads Mikkelsen, who we all like, Tilda Swinton, as well as Benjamin Bratt and Michael Stuhlbarg. Quite the cast. And this particular chapter in the Marvel Universe is more philosophical. It's more trippy. And it deals with a former neurosurgeon who, according to IMDb, embarks on a journey of healing, only to be drawn into the world of the mystic arts. Could they be more vague? I haven't seen this movie. I'm hoping to see it later today, but or maybe not.
Yes.
The both of you have, and it seems like Marvel can do no wrong of late. So what's the verdict?
Okay, so an alternative superhero movie that is super entertaining to watch, but at times felt more Harry Potter-esque than Captain America. Here's my issue with it. Given how adult Deadpool and Ant-Man have been recently, I wish this one had been a bit more gritty. But more than anything, it comes across a little bit more like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, complete with Tilda Swinton as an androgynous monk-like character. But despite that, I had a lot of fun with it at the cinema.
You know, it feels like Marvel is kind of dredging the kind of the more bottom. Kind of, you know, esoteric hidden superheroes. And this is kind of an interesting character because I had honestly never heard of Doctor Strange until the hype around this movie came out. What I'll say is this. It is fabulously entertaining. It's been very well received, and I totally understand why. It has a huge debt of gratitude to Batman Begins. I think the movie, in terms of an origin story, it very, very much mimics the tone and feel of that movie. But, you know, that's not to say it's a bad experience at all. I mean, it's, you know, appropriately, I think, respectful. I think, you know, even the visuals are no less, if you think about the way the world bends. Inception. And you can see this kind of stuff in the trailers.
Yeah.
But performances are terrific throughout. Tilda Swinton, I think, is, you know, so much fun in this movie. Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, it's a good, fun Marvel, if not especially memorable. And honestly, if we never hear of this character again, I'm not going to be upset. I didn't particularly like the... I did like or dislike. There was nothing memorable about the character.
Right. I mean, I like... They have this whole concept of time kills everything, and I've never really seen that done before, Yazdi. And I think that, you know, you said it in your intro. For me, there was some more spiritual alternative themes that we haven't necessarily seen in superhero movies, and that's kind of why I made the reference to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And I like the fact that for the first time in a superhero movie, I couldn't clearly see good versus evil necessarily. Each character seems to have some good and evil in them in different ways. And of course, there's the, you know, the traditional baddie. And I like the fact that there's this concept of these portals that connect the world, with the centers being in London, Hong Kong, and New York, which made me laugh because I thought, well, that's clearly why all those cities are congested.
It's that mimics the fashion world. Is
yeah, there you go. And you can pop in and get a nice outfit while you're there. I think it suffers because there's a few too many pop culture references, and I think that's going to stop it from becoming a classic in some ways, Joe, to your point. It's very disposable.
Does it exist in the same universe as the other Marvel superheroes, or it's kind of its own entity?
It felt like it was its own entity, but there is some reference maybe early on to Iron Man, I think.
I'm assuming it does. It doesn't need to, and it doesn't seem to, in my mind, deliberately go out of its way to kind of tie things together. But then again, this stuff is lost on me. I mean, I think once we got beyond the Avengers, I'm in total kind of, okay, so here's some other obscure, you know, character that was in an episode of a comic book sometime. I mean, I think the movie, as irreverent as Deadpool was earlier in the year, it's trying to tonally shift, I think, the cartoon comic book kind of paradigm. I think this movie, more than others, I think, was deliberately kind of adult in the way that it thought about things.
But I think not it was, adult enough.
No, but I think it was definitely trying to take that kind of, you know, let's be a bit more cerebral with this one, right? Let's make this more of a thinking man superhero movie. It's not necessarily about the big destructive battles, even though there are some great action set pieces. But I really felt that there, and again, that's why I think, to me, it felt very much like Batman Begins, because if you think very much that first Nolan entry, it was very much taking the Batman myth and almost making kind of an art house type movie out of it. It was all, you know, very different to the way that character had been handled before. And I feel like Doctor Strange is a deliberate kind of effort to do that for the Marvel Universe, you know, and it's thinking, and it is mind bending. I mean, you know, there are some, especially towards the end when kind of it all comes together, it requires, and it did lose me for a time. So, you know, it's the kind of movie that I feel like I need to see again to truly appreciate everything that was kind of thrown into it, but it was very good.
Yeah. And visually it's very, very beautiful to look at. I mean, there's some great cinematography, and there's these great scenes where you see worlds within worlds and these amazing special effects, thanks to Christopher Nolan for Inception, where these worlds are kind of building and turning in on one another. Mm. So that was interesting. Visually, it's very exciting to watch, I thought. But there, it makes a few leaps, and I didn't quite understand the bad guy. But it didn't really matter, like Joe said. It didn't have to hang as well together, because there was so much to keep you entertained in a way.
Is Tilda Swinton the bad guy? Or one of the baddies? Okay, you're not at liberty
yes,
to say.
Tilda there is no good and bad.
Okay.
She is the ancient one.
Okay. And I know they got into some degree of... They got a lot of flack because in the original comic book by Steve Ditko, that's actually an Asian man. And they cast Tilda Swinton instead. So they got in... You know, there's this whole whitewashing of characters in Hollywood.
I see, yes. So it did feel... Like I said to you, I mean, the first thing that came to mind was like those Japanese... Things that we, you know, those programs that we used to watch in the 70s. I always make reference to the program Monkey, which I loved. And this really reminded me of Monkey in a sense. So it appealed to me in that way.
Yeah.
This could have easily have been an Asian movie, I think, with subtitles, and we would have loved it. People would have said, this is an amazing movie. You know, if it had been a foreign language movie, I feel like it really would have, and had the guy from, whose name, Chan Fat, is it?
Chow Yun Fat.
Yeah. I mean, if he'd been in it, I mean, seriously, and it was in a foreign language, in any Asian language, we would have been saying, this is amazing.
Yeah. Well, no, it has been very well received. It's running 90% on the Tomatometer. Yeah.
Tilda's always good. Benedict's always good. Yeah. Rachel McAdams is always good. Chiwetel Ejiofor is a strange addition to this, which I didn't quite.
He's a little bit underused. Yeah. He doesn't have a lot to do, but.
Yeah. Okay, shall we sum this one up? I can go first. So, great concepts, great special effects, and nothing too strange about this one. I would happily watch a sequel, and believe me, there'll probably be one.
Yeah, this is, for me, kind of an above-average origin story. You know, it's the kind of thing that we've seen before. It's the kind of thing that we're going to see again and again, and I'm glad that they chose to introduce this character in this particular way. So, you know, it's good. It just felt very derivative of other works, but that doesn't mean to say that it was not enjoyable. So I'm going to give this an 8. Wow. And, yeah, it
did
was...
Did I score?
No.
No, you didn't. You keep forgetting to
I
score
keep
these
forgetting
days.
To score. Sorry, after your 8.
That's
I will
okay. Go. Well, 8. Mine's an 8.
I think 7. 7 for me.
Okay.
I give it 7 bananas too.
7 bananas, yeah.
7
we
bananas.
We haven't seen bananas for a while.
I know, bananas make a comeback.
The bananas come back.
Yes.
All right, let's move into something very different. Should we talk about the movie Moonlight or Arrival?
Yes. Let's do Arrival.
Okay. So Arrival is the latest entry onto the resume of director Denis Villeneuve, who we know in recent years for producing movies such as Prisoners, My Mind's Going Blank.
He did in Incendies, he did Enemies.
Sicario.
He
Prisoners, Prisoners is the one that kind of pops into my mind as being you know, his kind of signature. But absolutely, Sicario. Last year, Sicario was superb. We didn't talk about that on the podcast. I don't think that got a release early enough for us to talk about it. But so this is a movie that is essentially his kind of first foray into the world of sci-fi. Movie is the premise is that an elite, a mysterious spacecraft touches down on the globe, and an elite team led by linguist Louise Banks, played by Amy Adams, are brought together to investigate. As mankind teeters on the verge of global war, Banks and her team race against time for answers. The cast in this movie is very good. The three leads: Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, and Forest Whitaker. Lead kind of a huge cast of characters here. So, guys, what did you think of Arrival?
Arrival is many things. I don't know where to start. I think...
Can I just say you're so poker-faced, I cannot read you.
It's... I'll end that right there. I think it's one of the best movies of the year. Does that help?
Yeah.
I really do. And I say that even as I sit here right now, not having fully understood the film. And we've seen it about, 4 or 5 days ago, and it's just sat in my mind, and it's brewed, and it's brewed. And it's one of these movies which is visually just incredible. And it's not visually incredible in that it's not trying to zap and awe you. It's a lot of quiet, majestic beauty that you see through most of the film. So there's that. But I think all good science fiction knows that, you know, good science fiction is not about spaceships and aliens. It's about the ideas. And this movie kind of uses this whole concept of you know, dealing with the unknown, in this case, the arrival of these spaceships suddenly on the surface of the Earth, I think to address anything in the world that is unknown and that we fear. And it almost at a metaphysical level has a lot of things to say along those lines. And then at a third level, if you just look at it as the journey of the main character, the character played by Amy Adams, that whole piece is also very well put together. And it really plays with the concept of time in a very nice way. And I don't want to say more, but I think there's a lot to commend for this movie, even though it's almost at times too cerebral, almost too intellectual, maybe. But I really liked it, and I can't wait to see it again.
Okay, so clearly I'm not a person with a brain.
Oh, you didn't care for it?
No, look, I think this is a movie with so much promise that left me scratching my head, but not in a good way. Mm. I think it's an existential question that's wrapped up in an alien movie, mm-hmm. like you said, Yazdi, and it's terrific to watch. And it's terrific to watch the unravel. But at the end of the film, I had my mouth open because I felt conned, mm-hmm. because it didn't amount to much by the end. And to me, it didn't make sense as a whole package. And because it felt to me like there were so many holes in the story, I kind of knock points off for that. But to watch Fair as enough, an experience, yeah. and to watch it unravel on the screen scene by scene is truly mind-blowing at times, I thought. I can't read anyone today. You're all poker-faced.
No, I agree. I agree with everything you've said. I mean, I still don't understand it fully. That's why I can't wait to see it again. But
yeah,
maybe, unlike you, yeah.
Joe.
Go on.
So, you know, I said earlier about Batman Begins being kind of an art house movie, dressed up as a comic book movie. This is very much an art house movie masquerading as a sci-fi film. There is such... it really is thinking man sci-fi in a way that I think... I haven't stopped thinking about the movie since I watched it. And, you know, I will say that the first third of the movie had me just giddy with mm-hmm. yeah. excitement. This is so well done. This whole kind of the build-up, the anticipation, the kind of, you know, what is happening in this universe with these spaceships that have come to the Earth. What do they want? How that kind of build-up there was done as well as I've ever seen it done. It was frightening. It was... intriguing. And then the movie kind of gets into its kind of main theme.
Yeah.
Which is the, you know, it's really neatly woven around that Amy Adams character journey, which you mentioned there, Yazdi. And I think ultimately that's what the movie is about. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of distraction here with, you know, life, the universe and everything, which the movie tries to introduce at the end. But really it's about Amy Adams' journey and the way it's assembled and put together and plays with time and, It's very, very cleverly done. And I feel like it's just a little too clever for its mm-hmm. own good. Yeah. And I think that's where perhaps, Rashmi, you find maybe some annoyance with it. Because I think it's leading you in one direction in terms of, you know, it being this big blockbuster epic. And then it's going off in this kind of more thoughtful direction.
Yeah, very intimate, yeah.
The visuals in some regards when we I'm not going to say anything more because I think it's very, very spoiler susceptible. So I think, you know, it takes you off in one direction. It's a big first act, which is just, you know, superbly done. And then it goes elsewhere. And I think if you can't follow it along, it was annoying me at the time. And then I kind of came back to where I think it wanted to take me. That's
okay,
a horrible
so
way
I'm
to review
I'm going
to
say thank you to Joe because I think you've just helped me understand it a little bit more. Because I think if you can, most of the time, I think it's okay if you listen to a movie after you've seen a movie. But I hope people are listening to this one before they go and see the movie. Because I think if you bear in mind that it's Amy Adams' journey, yeah. it will really help you.
Yeah.
So that's really made things a lot more clearer for me, I think. Because now I've been able to just tie something up that she says right at the end.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. I might have to redo my whole yeah. review of this. I know, yes, you were going to say something, but didn't you think that the beginning when all of the spaceships arrived was very derivative of something like Independence Day or District 9? I was kind of excited by that because I did like District 9 was one, I think, all of our favorite movies of that year. But I love those spaceships were really innovative.
Yes.
And the way it's all filmed is quite exquisite when you see these obelisk type things or like segments of orange at one stage.
Superb art direction.
Really, really good cinematography.
There's some ideas here that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And what I really liked is none of it is intrusive. It's, you know, the special effects kind of blend in. They're not jumping out at you and saying, look at me, but...
Like Independence Day, but much more like District 9, which seemed much more as if it's normal in your normal world.
And it seems, you know, the whole basis of most movies which deal with alien invasion and spaceships and all that is to kind of wow you and enthrall you. Whereas this one takes a very realistic view. Like, what would you happen literally if this minute you found out that a spaceship had landed in Virginia or wherever?
Mm-hmm.
What would your reaction be? And it kind of plays that out very realistically. So all the special effects to me felt like they were truly at the service of the plot and not necessarily to say, look what cool creations we can make.
Yeah.
Which really helps.
Yeah.
But they're really very original. And I'll use the word gravity to kind of describe one particular sequence towards the beginning.
Yeah, I was reminded exactly of Gravity, yeah.
Well, not the movie Gravity, but just the concept of gravity.
That was amazing.
So again, not wanting to get into spoilers, but the way that is done is genuinely fascinating, original, and again,
never seen that before.
Just really well thought through, and I kind of at that point I still thought that this was going to be more of kind of an action sci-fi Independence Day type, you know, battle with the aliens type movie. Yeah. So you know, I was enthralled by that whole kind of build up. But
so this is the problem I have with the movie. We're in 2016, and here are some aliens that have traveled light years, and they've actually managed to make it to another planet where there are living people. Why are we still imagining aliens as these kind of like...
Be careful here.
You know, strange beings. I really want someone to reimagine an alien to be much more highly sophisticated.
We've seen that.
Where?
Everywhere. They're always kind of, you know... I mean, oftentimes they're humanoid, which is, you know, really irritating.
These are the more, you know, traditional, not big-headed, one-eyed
Mars kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just like I really want to see a reimagined alien that would be worthy of having flown light years from another planet. I'm kind of tired.
But why would you expect them to be even conceptually something that we could?
Because they got to fly spaceships.
They do.
They don't have hands.
Right, exactly.
They don't need hands.
They don't need hands. Why?
You're very... Okay.
There are no opposable thumbs.
But that's the point. You're expecting humanoid aliens,
right? No, I don't want them to be humanoid. I just want them to be different to... I don't want them to be a creature.
I know what you mean.
Without giving too much away, right? We're having this conversation
Star Trek was done with aliens that were entirely humanoid. They weren't creatures. They were like people walking around in masks. And we've moved beyond that. Can't we imagine something more?
Exactly.
Let's face it. Like, if aliens ever arrive on planet Earth, they will be unlike anything we could have possibly imagined.
Right.
So we don't even have the vocabulary to describe them. And I think they did a really good job here of doing something that was original. I mean, I didn't understand the beings. You know, I couldn't figure out were they, again, I don't want to spoil things, but I couldn't even understand what kind of medium they were existing in, you know.
Right.
It was like, oh wow, that's wholly original.
I think the whole middle of the movie is based on the premise that Earth is trying to find out what's the intent and what's the purpose of these aliens.
Right.
Why are they here?
Right.
Have they come to eat us or have they come?
Right. Are they going to eat us? Are they seeking help? You know what?
Or are they helping us?
Are they helping us? And so I think it plays beautifully with if you're suddenly coming face to face with something entirely foreign, what is your first instinct?
Run.
Yeah, or to run, or to attack, or to assume bad intent. And it plays so beautifully with that. And I think that's why her being a linguist, she gets, you know, she gets recruited to do this. And I think, like you, Joe, I thought the first third of the movie just, I was just giddy. I was like, you know, I was four inches above my seat. I was like in
heaven. It was that gravity.
It was so good. It was anti-gravity almost, yes. But then it kind of became more traditional. But the middle half is really about trying to communicate with this creature.
Which I loved. I did like that. Right. I did like that whole the unraveling used, of, you know, how mm-hmm. do you... Of language and of communication. Mm-hmm. And I love that it drew upon history.
Well, and it's a genuinely beautiful idea. Because it is. If you it think really about, is. Again, the simplicity of the idea that they arrive and they can't speak English. You know, it totally turns every other alien invasion movie
right.
upon its head, where they kind of broadcast down to us, we are here from planet blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, or that the fact that they can instantly communicate with us in whatever which way they can.
I right. mean,
other movies have used like radio signals or, you know, the fact that they haven't got anything that even looks like, you know, voices and writing. And it's very, very clever.
Yeah.
That communication barrier that would inevitably exist.
Yeah.
You know, how would we communicate with ants? You know, how would we communicate with, you know...
kangaroos.
Yeah.
How do you communicate with ants?
That's a genuine kind of barrier that, you know, and this is beings from our planet. So imagine beings from across the universe. I mean,
yeah.
Very, very clever stuff.
Yeah. Okay, let's wind this one up. So, Joe, why don't you go first?
I thought this was great. I'm going to give it an 8 right now. I think that might improve over time because I really did think highly of this film. I think... I had to adjust my expectations partway through because of, just like as Yazdi said, that opening act is among the best things in cinema that I think I've seen this year and maybe for many years. It's so beautifully done. So a big fan of Denis Villeneuve. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 and suggest that everyone go see this.
In the cinema. It's
big
worth
and
it.
Loud.
Yeah.
Yazdi.
Yeah, I also give it an 8 out of 10, which just seems horribly unfairly stingy right now, because I think this movie almost exists on some other plane in terms of how ambitious it is, how evolved it is. It's based on a short story, and I'm eager to read the short story now, because this seems like so grand, both in its visuals as well as in its concepts, that I just love the ambitiousness of it. And you know, it reminded me of Alien. It reminded me of 2001: A Space Odyssey. And yet, it is its own being.
Mm.
And it works on a very large scale. But then, like you said, it kind of retracts and then becomes about this one person only. And it's almost disinterested in the last act about the big things. It becomes about Amy Adams. And I kind of liked how unexpected that was. So for the true cinematic journey that it gave me, I mean, I love for movies like that, which surprise me and take me in a... unpredictable places. And the movie's full of scenes where I just kept saying, how did they do this? How did they do this? You know, how did they actually come to create this, what I'm seeing on the screen? So very, very imaginative, original, ambitious work. Stingy 8 out of 10.
Okay, so I'm going to give it a 7. I think I walked into this podcast thinking it was going to be much, much lower. And then, Joe, I think you've helped me understand, just by knowing that it's Amy Adams' story, it's helped me understand the movie a little bit more. So I'm going to increase that score to a 7. I think I absolutely agree with everything that you said about the film visually and the story and the nuances that it provides to us. I just think that for the average moviegoer who isn't looking for that cerebral experience, it would help to have stated the purpose of the movie up front a little bit more clearly.
It's not for everyone.
Because it's frustrating, I think, if you walk out and felt like I did, which is, oh, I love this, but I don't get it. And then it kind of ruins the experience of the movie for you. So, 7 out of 10 for me. And I think I would probably benefit by watching this movie again now. But obviously, you can't expect that of a movie. You shouldn't have to watch a movie twice, as we always say.
Tonally, it reminded me of a movie that I didn't like very much, which was Monsters from a few years ago.
Yeah.
Gareth Edwards, who then went on to direct Godzilla, of all things. But it's that kind of thinking man sci-fi type feel. But anyway, let's move on. We have one more movie to talk about this week, and that movie is Moonlight.
Okay, and I'm introing Moonlight. So this is the tender, heartbreaking story of a young man's struggle to find himself, told across three defining chapters in his life as he experiences the ecstasy, pain, and beauty of falling in love while grappling with his own sexuality. So this is directed and written by Barry Jenkins, and it stars Mahershala Ali, Sharif Earp, Alex Hibbert, Ashton Sanders, Andre Holland, Dwan Sandy Sanderson, Janelle Monáe, Naomi Harris, Jaden Piner, and a whole lot of other people. This has got a pretty big cast because it's covering three phases of a young man's life. So this is actually produced by Brad Pitt's Studio Plan B. Mm-hmm. And he's actually a producer on the movie. So Yazdi, what did you think of this one?
So the New York Times has declared this movie the best movie of the year, sight unseen. The New Yorker is calling it something like, you know, I don't know, it'll change your life. And then the Boston Globe said that this movie might just be the best movie ever made. So I went into this movie with all these, you know, hyperventilated
superlatives, yeah.
You know, superlatives of, you know, this movie's just expectations. And I think this is it was the single biggest problem with me is I had unusually high expectations for this movie. I don't think it's the best movie ever made, certainly. I don't even think it's the best movie of the year, but it's still a pretty good movie. It's at every moment 100% authentic. I did not emotionally connect with it. I wanted this movie to turn me into a puddle, and I did not. I was watching it from a distance. And I think I know why. At least for me personally, the first two chapters were so much more meaningful than the last one. It seemed like a different character to me in the third character. And I recognize that is the point of the movie, and we can talk about it some more. But the very fact that this movie with a second-time director with almost no-name actors is being released and, you know, is being brought to us is pretty amazing. But again, I don't think it's the best movie of the year.
Joe.
Yeah, I agree with you, Yazdi, in that I had a hard time connecting with this one too. And it's not because of the performances were lacking in any way. It wasn't as if the writing was lacking in any way. It wasn't as if the characters weren't meaningful in any way. There was just something missing for me in terms of an ingredient. I almost feel like if a director like Steve McQueen, who you know did 12 Years and Shame, had this material, it would have destroyed me. So, you know, what will I say? I think there's a lot of politics around, I think, the way that the movie's received. It deals with a topic that I haven't seen dealt with before on the screen in this particular way, or not as obviously in the way that this character journey goes. And I really not that I'm complaining about your intro here, Rashmi, but because you took it from the Rotten Tomato description, but it already tells me more than I knew going into the movie, which is why I think I enjoyed the movie as much as I did. Had I gone in knowing what some of the plot details and revelations were, because, you know, this man is on a journey through life. And I think, you know, in his very young years, the way that story develops is part of what I think is magical about the movie. But I think, for whatever reasons, marketing, get the word out there, maybe you know, build up support from certain communities, and it's been, you know, we're told that up front going into it, so I think that would obviously take the movie down a notch or two for some people, and I think that may be what happened to the USD.
Yeah.
So I'm on the other side of the fence, so I think you I'm with move, the New York moved, Times, yeah. Absolutely, and the Washington Post, and all of those esteemed newspapers. This was stunning for me. This was just stunning. And I think each chapter as a standalone story was so powerful. And then when I looked at the entire movie as the three chapters, it broke me inside. And I think what moved me the most is it's hard to tell these stories without being cliche or too obvious or in your face. And there's a subtlety about this. And it's not just the subtlety about the sexuality part, but it's about the community that this boy lives in, about the issues that he faces on a daily basis, the battles that he faces. And I think the journey, the arc for me was so powerful that I could totally then turn into mush during that third chapter. And in that third chapter, Yessie, I turned into a puddle, and it was over a very benign scene. But literally, I had to stop myself from sobbing because it moved me so much. So I think, and I'm trying to think back to how I felt when I watched Boyhood, because obviously Boyhood mm-hmm. covered the same boy's journey over a 12-year period. And I didn't love Boyhood because I know a lot of people thought that was the second coming. And I was trying to think about why didn't I love it as much. This one felt like it covered more issues and it covered them more in depth in a smaller space of time. So maybe I'm part of the ADD nation. It kind of appealed to my film watching experience and it educated me and entertained me. And it also made me look at what this boy was facing in a very different way. I just love this movie. I know I've just, you know, gone on and on. I love this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I almost came out of the movie thinking, what did I miss? You know, what did I miss? And I, so again, here's another movie along with Arrival that I want to see again, because the reaction you had was the reaction I was guaranteed walking into the movie.
Mm.
And maybe that's what prevented me from kind of, you know, maybe I was too cautious or too mm-hmm. expectant or whatever. I mean, I cannot deny the movie's excruciatingly authentic at every point.
Yeah.
You know, yes. there isn't a second in this movie where it feels like anybody's play acting or it feels contrived or it feels, you know, like it's been written. It feels like you're actually watching somebody's
life. And that's difficult to do in the first chapter with young boys, right? I mean, it's easier to do when you get in that kind of teenage adult actors, but with those children were fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, let's talk about performances, because I think, you know, in all three phases of this boy's life,
mm-hmm.
The actor playing the lead is superb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the young child, the teenager, and the adult do such a good job of conveying a character that I think is quite difficult, because he doesn't say a lot, and he's very closed off to the world, and he's mm-hmm. very, very private and guarded and clearly kind of sensitive. What did you guys think of the performances here?
Stunning.
Yeah.
And
absolutely. I agree with you. Every single one was stunning, if I had to choose between them.
And Naomi Harris.
Like,
fantastic.
I last saw her in Spectre a couple of days earlier in the James Bond movie as Moneypenny. I was like, what?
Yeah, she's fantastic. And I know, Joe, we weren't sure if we were going to review this one because we watched it as civilians, but we felt like it's an important movie that we need to kind of share with our listeners. As we came out, I know, Joe, you were talking about the whole issue of the cliche crack mother. But it worked for me.
Yeah, no, this idea of, you know, urban, you know, drug problems within black communities, I think has been done over and over and over and over. And I thought that was my only issue really here with the movie, in that it felt very traditional in terms of trying to depict those problems. And I don't know that that was necessarily additive to the story. I think the fact that his relationship with his mother was difficult was put purely on the fact that she was a drug addict. And I think there could have been other issues there that would have made the movie feel a little bit more real. But then again, you know, I'm maybe trying to underplay the role that these drug issues have within those communities.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think so. It's three very distinct chapters with three different sets of actors other than Naomi Harris, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Actually, for me, the first chapter, it just gobsmacked me. I think that's the strongest of all of them for me personally. And I think mostly because it kind of touches upon something that's so rarely touched upon in movies. And that's why I think this movie is a lot more than what it's being marketed. It's really about everything. It's about growing up and, you know, finding your voice. And this particular first chapter is about a kid who finds a mentor when he needs it the most. You know, his mom almost is a peripheral character in the first chapter. And it's about, you know, normally people look at an older man with a little kid mentoring with a lot of suspicion. And in this particular case, you know, this particular man is in his life at a time when he really needs it. Some kind of a father figure, somebody who's going to, you know, not necessarily even coach him or mentor him, but just be there for him. And even though he is so closed off and unwilling to open, that somebody is just so unconditionally there for him. So I think the actor who plays, I think his name is Mahershala Ali.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's just incredible. And I think it really tore me apart because I don't know if it's a spoiler, but you know, when he finds out something about this mentor who he looks up to and realizes what he's responsible for. I mean, that to me is life. Is there's no black and whites. It's all grays, and there are no heroes and there are no villains, and everybody is a little bit of everything. And it kind of really beautifully brings that out without ever, you know, shouting that point. So it's pretty good. My biggest problem was with the third act.
Right.
It just felt to me like it was from another movie. It felt that it's marvelously acted, but that person didn't seem like the other two people I had seen earlier.
But that was the beauty of it, because the end of the second chapter is the complete turning point that makes this character who he becomes in that third chapter. Right. So for me, it tied it together beautifully, because here's this person who's going along in life, and then something so, I don't want to say mind-blowing, because mind-blowing almost say it's kind of makes out it's a good thing, but something, such a tangential thing happens that it completely changes his course of life, right? It's the moment that this character wakes up and kind of says, enough,
no more.
And that was the beauty of it, because I think, again, in that third chapter, you could have a character who was played very hard or too cliche, and it's not played cliche. It was very subtle, and it set that scene up where I blubbed like a baby so beautifully. I mean, just thinking about it, I think, like a tear in my eye.
I know the moment to which you refer, but I think it felt a little too forced, and the time, like, it happened a little too quickly in terms of maybe they didn't have the room to breathe that they wanted to within the script or with it. You know. Again, if it had been, you know, the third episode of a miniseries where the events that take place in that third chapter could have been done in a time frame that to us may have been more plausible.
Right, yeah, I can
Instead,
see that.
It kind of said, okay, we need to wrap the movie up now, so this is where we want the characters to get to, so, you know, let's make a couple of phone calls and, you know, put it together and boom, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I don't want to spoil the movie, but Rashmi, I think the thing that you're referring to here is really the preparation of food as being like a moment of beauty. And, I understand that. So
yeah.
I don't know if that is a spoiler.
I'm
going to
cry now. Okay, let's score this one. So, Yazdi, you go first.
So, I mean, like I said earlier, this movie is, it's so small in scope. It's about this single character at three different junctures in his life. But it really, I mean, I'm hard-pressed. If somebody asked me to summarize the movie in one sentence, I wouldn't be able to, because it's really, truly about everything. It's about growing up and a true coming of age. And unfortunately, I mean, I wanted to be that character. I wanted to be devastated, and it didn't happen for me. So I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10 instead. So then I'll... but it's...
Come on.
I'll give it an 8. Okay. I'll give it an 8. But I think people should go out and watch it, because this too is what cinema can be. I think this is the kind of movie that a studio would never make. It comes from a singular person's mind. It probably comes from a singular person's experience. And I know I'm rambling, but I'll just say this. I know the last piece of the movie is about, it's making a statement about masculinity in America right now, where essentially to be a person of any worth, you have to shield yourself. And, you know, you see this last, the person in the last act is somebody who is completely, literally solidified, you know, fully. And I can see that, but it didn't, conceptually I can see it. So it's quite remarkable.
Joe?
Good stuff. I think this movie isn't quite, in my mind, deserving of the 98% positive that the reviews are on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it has script issues, and I feel horribly mean to a filmmaker when I decide to critique their ability to handle this material and to write and produce, because I think it's very well done, but I just feel like it could have been so much better. And so for that, I'm going to give it a very generous 8, because it's a good film, and I recommend that people watch it. But just a few snips and nips and tucks and tweaks, and you could have had something that would have hit me in the way that 12 Years a Slave did.
Yeah,
but instead,
same way.
You know, I kind of thought, oh well, that was a good movie.
Totally worked for me. I'm going to give it a 9. Devastatingly, achingly, heart-wrenchingly beautiful. I love love. I felt about this movie how I felt at the end of Blue is the Warmest Color.
Mm-hmm.
This movie devastated me. I mean, it was just beautiful, and it was so well acted, and it's something different. Love.
Yeah, great structure. Great structure.
All right. 3 movies, Doctor Strange, Arrival, and Moonlight.
Very different movies.
Yeah, but all consistently well rated by us this week. I think I'm landed on 3.8, which...
Wow, that never happens.
Means, I guess, that pound cake was really delicious. It's giving me a little bit of a sugar buzz.
They're good films.
All right, so let's sign off for today. Mail at movieallhours.com, twitter.com/movieallhours, facebook.com/movieallhours, instagram.com/movieallhours. Lots of movieallhours ways of interacting with us on social media. We would like to get some...
Feedback
and do ping us if you have anything that you'd like us to talk about on the show. Until our next episode, too many movies, too little time, a good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.